Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael, Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, August 24th, Sports Section. Area Football Notebook. Greenwood defense playing well ahead of season opener. By Oscar LeRoy. If early indications are correct, it looks like the Greenwood football team will once again have a tough defense this season. Greenwood coach Rusty Purser said the defense is definitely ahead of the offense going into this Saturday's 2:30 p.m. season opener against Lubbock Estacado at Astound Broadband Stadium. In the Rangers' last scrimmage at Denver City last week, Purser said the defense shined and showed more of what it could do against the Mustangs. We brought some stunts and put some more pressure with our defense than we did against Big Spring 2 weeks ago, Purser said. Against Big Spring, we were pretty vanilla. It was good to see our speed affected their offense. The Mustangs couldn't get to us, couldn't block us. The defense is in a really good spot right now. The offense suffered a blow when senior right tackle Brady Casbier recently had surgery to repair a broken ankle he suffered against Big Spring. Purser said the injury might be season-ending, as the earliest he could come back would be late in the year. It definitely hurts us, Purser said. Losing a senior from an experience standpoint was valuable. Orlando Baeza and Brady were our only seniors in the line, so we had to move some bodies around to get them set. Purser said not having an experienced player like Casbier on the offensive line seemed to hurt the running game some against Denver City. The running backs made a few plays, but it was hard to be consistent, Purser said. But the good thing is we've had a good week so far, and we will continue to get better. Purser said he has liked what he's seen from three-year starting quarterback and senior Ty Flowers. Ty continues to do some really good things, Purser said. We broke down our scrimmages, and it was 60-40 pass run. He's been really solid. Against Denver City, he threw for a touchdown and ran for another. His play continues to improve. He's making good decisions, and he seems more poised than he did a year ago. Andrews coming along well early. Andrews coach Tom Harvey said, thanks in part to experience, the Mustangs are farther along in some areas than what the coaching staff thought they would be at this time. The Mustangs are preparing to open a new era with Harvey as head coach when they host Canyon Randall at 7 p.m. Friday at the Mustang Bowl. Harvey said his team saw a lot of encouraging things in scrimmages against Pampa and Canyon West Plains. He said the offensive line has really come along, especially as the Mustangs go to a more 50-50 pass-run offense than the pass-heavy offense they've had the past few years under former head coach Ralph Mason. Our run blocking and our running game in total is further along than what we hoped they would be, Harvey said. We already knew that we had a pretty good quarterback in E.J. Lopez, and now he gets a chance to be more multidimensional. E.J. has also been terrific running more of play action pass. Harvey said defense will be a big key to the team's success this week against the Class 5A Raiders. We have some outstanding defensive players who are three-year starters, so being able to contain their offense, along with being able to move the ball, will be keys for us, he said. In these first games, our conditioning may be in our favor. That's not to say that our opponents won't be well-conditioned, but we're in pretty good shape. Padron gets nod as Steers QB. Big Spring coach Cannon McWilliams said junior Gavin Padron will start at quarterback when the Steers host Pampa in the season opener at 7 p.m. Friday. Senior Eli Kobos, who was competing with Padron for the starting job, will start at receiver and defensive back, two positions he excelled at last year. McWilliams said his offense got off to a sluggish start in the team's last scrimmage against Levelland last week, but picked it up late. The offense hit some speed bumps, but we got a couple of scores later on, and the defense had a goal line stand. So we ended on a high note, he said. We competed well, and most importantly, we stayed healthy. McWilliams said the Harvesters, who, like Big Spring, were 6-5 last year, are big and physical. We have to match their physicality, he said. Like us, they graduated a lot of skill kids, so I think it will be a good contest. We've just got to continue to get better. Stanton coach likes progress. Stanton coach Cody Hogan said his team's scrimmages against Slayton and Lamisa were good for his team, as they showed the Buffaloes what they need to work on. The defense looked really good, while the offense is still learning a new offense, and there are some things we still have to learn, Hogan said. The Buffaloes, who have been running a wing tee offense, are changing some things up, but Hogan has stressed that it will still be run-based. Hogan also declined to say who the starting quarterback will be in Friday's 7 p.m. home opener against Grape Creek. Early in two-a-days, Hogan said that three players were competing for the quarterback position. We want to be the most physical team, and we just need to execute better, said Hogan about Friday's game. If we get better at the things we do on a daily basis, everything will come into place. G-City ready for big matchup. Number 5 ranked Garden City will get a test right out of the gate when it faces number 9 Valley in the Jayton Gridion Classic at 6 p.m. Friday. Valley went 6-4 and was a state quarterfinalist in Class 1A Division 1 last year. They also return 9 of the 12 starters from that squad. They are a very good football team, Garden City coach Jeff Jones said. They didn't lose too many kids off a team that went to the state quarterfinals. They've got speed, they're very well coached, disciplined, just everything you would expect from a top 10 team. Jones said playing a team like the Patriots should only help his team in the long run, as the Bearcats have high expectations with 5 starters returning on each side of the ball from a 7-4 team. Jones said his team showed a lot of good things in scrimmages against Ira and Highland. I like where we're at offensively and defensively, Jones said. We're just trying to get better and cut down on the mistakes. We can't shoot ourselves in the foot if we want to do the things we hope to do this year. We want to be a disciplined and fundamentally sound football team. This is also from Wednesday's MRT. Private school report. MCS ready to kick off new era with Road Trip by Oscar Leroy. First-year Midland Christian coach Chris Cunningham called his team's season-opening game at El Paso Americas the opening act to the 2022 season. The Mustangs are hoping they can give Cunningham a successful debut at MCS as the team embarks on one of its lengthy road trips of the season when they head to El Paso Socorro ISD Student Activities Complex to play the Trailblazers at 7 p.m. Thursday. Despite some of the changes within the program, Cunningham has liked what the Mustangs have shown so far, especially during last Friday's scrimmage against Wall. Every time we played Midland Christian, I always came away impressed with the way they hit and flew to the ball, said the former longtime coach at Plano Prestonwood. They haven't disappointed me yet, as they were running to the ball and hitting hard. I loved seeing that. Offensively is where the Mustangs have seen the most changes, as Cunningham said there are a lot of kids either playing in different positions or some kids who move from the junior varsity level playing varsity for the first time. Taking over the starting quarterback position for graduated standout River Rodriguez is senior Blake Pruitt, who impressed last year as a wide receiver after transferring from Odessa Permian. He looked good, said Cunningham of Pruitt in the scrimmage. He threw some good balls. He had a couple of drops, but the throws were right there. He's still getting a feel of it, and there were some missed reads, but the exciting thing about it is that we're getting some of that corrected and fixed. Cunningham said while it wasn't bad, the run game is another area that needs to improve. He said the offensive line did a good job in pass protection, but has to improve in its blocking. I'm a big believer in defense and establishing the run game, he said. America's a Class 6A program is coming off a 3-7 season, which included a 42-7 loss to the Mustangs. Cunningham said the Trailblazers look like a typical 6A team up front, and they also have speed at the skill positions. Defensively, he said they are aggressive and fast. That will be a test for us, Cunningham said. Their secondary plays a combination of zone and man, so we have to do a good job of getting separation, finding windows in the passing game, and block in the receiving core. Trinity gets in early work. The Trinity football team may already be farther ahead than it was last year at this time. Last year, the Chargers didn't have any preseason scrimmages before their first game. However, this year, they scrimmaged Robert Lee and Rankin, and head coach Greg Koch said that that's really helped his team. "We had a chance to go against some quality teams, so we're excited," he said. "When you get to play the quality of those people, we're blessed. We did what we needed to against each of those teams, and we got to see people moving. We got to see defensive ends and defensive backs coming at us, which is what we needed. There were times that the play didn't get completed, but it was right there." Koch said the returning All-State running back Jude Varner has looked good early, as well as returning second-team All-State defensive lineman Monty Campbell. He added that the team has been able to move around returning All-State center Lincoln Lewis to different positions because of the depth at center, while Victor Valles has moved from defensive end to middle linebacker. The Chargers, who are coming off a 6-4 playoff season, will open up the regular season at 7 p.m. Friday at Coombs Field against a fairly young program from across town in Holy Cross. Koch said the Crusaders are really young, but the goal of his team is to continue to get better. "We're going to take baby steps each week," Koch said. "Like I always tell the guys, it's a marathon and not a sprint. I'm looking for consistency in this first game. I was really happy with our conditioning last week. This week, it's about going out there and executing the right way." And now moving back to the Odessa American for, again, Wednesday, August 24th. Countdown to kickoff, 2022, familiar surroundings. Former assistant coach back to lead the Golden Cranes program, by Michael Bauer, Crane. With former head coach Jeff Cordell now at Sherman, the Golden Cranes have turned to a familiar face with Michael Pittman taking over the reins. Pittman hasn't had much time to transfer back to Crane and get familiar with his new players, as he took over just a month ago. While he's had to hit the ground running at Crane, Pittman has the experience of being head coach, moving back to the Permian Basin after 10 years leading the program at Post High School. Pittman spent 5 years as an assistant at Crane as the offensive line coach before going to Post. "You know, I'm very excited," Pittman said. "The kids have been great." While Pittman is getting settled in Crane, being at Crane ISD before has made it a little easier for him to transition. "Obviously, a lot of faces have changed, but one of the things that's been pretty neat is that I still know several people that are here in town," Pittman said. "That's been nice. Some of these kids, I've coached their brothers or their cousins, so that's been a neat deal." Pittman takes over a Crane program that went 8-3 last year and is coming off back-to-back district titles. The Golden Cranes fell to Ballinger 35-34 in the first round of the playoffs last season. "Crane's a great athletic town," Pittman said. "The kids have been awesome. We're not too far into this deal, but I've been really pleased with the kids and their attentiveness. They seem to be geared in. There's a lot of new changes and lots of new terminology and possibly change of style, but the kids have been real receptive. They've done everything that we've asked of them. I knew it was going to take them a while, but I felt like a lot of the new stuff they've done, they've picked up faster than I hoped they would." The top four teams in each district advance to the postseason, so the Golden Cranes will be in the playoffs the next two seasons as they find themselves in a four-team district with Alpine, Tornillo, and Compass Academy. Pittman says he's still trying to get to know the other three teams in his district, but he expects a challenge from Alpine. "As far as teams, I would assume Alpine, just because I'm a little more familiar with Alpine," Pittman said. "I don't know a lot about the rest of the district teams. I know Alpine was in our district the last time I was here. That'll be a big game for us and a big game for them. That would probably be my pick. Compass Academy is also in our district. I don't know a lot about them. There's a lot of new stuff that I don't know too much about, but I'm going to work on figuring out everything." One thing that will be different for Crane and Pittman is the district schedule, which features a round-robin format. "I've never been a part of that, so I don't know how it's going to work," Pittman said of the schedule. "I've had a couple of times where I've faced a team in preseason and then get them in the playoffs, but never played a round-robin district schedule. I think there are things that can help. Maybe you can be a little more familiar with people you're playing, but at the same time, I can see getting a false sense of security the first time you play them and start thinking that they won it the first time, so it'll be easy the second time. it'll be an interesting challenge. We'll have to figure out as we go along how we'll navigate this. But does having a four-team district take some of the stress off for Pittman as he enters his first year as head coach at Crane? I don't know that it does, Pittman said. I think you want to put the best team that you can put out on the field, whether it's a four-team district or anything like that. It doesn't change our mission or our goals. We're just trying to get better every day. We're trying to become the best football team we can. Since the start of practices on August 1st, Pittman has been busy getting to know his players, and he pointed out a few that have stood out so far. There's been a couple that I thought have really stepped up, Pittman said. Keaton Cena, he's going to play quarterback. You ask a lot of your quarterback, and I think he's done a great job. There's another kid in Manny Aranda. But with a new season and a new school comes a new challenge, and Pittman says he's excited for this year. Crane's a special place, Pittman said. It's a supportive community. We have new kids. I'm eager to see where we can get going and where we can take things. And now we move to today's newspapers, Thursday, August 25th. Midland Reporter-Telegram Sports. LHS Report. Rebels excited about their front four entering opener. By Christopher Hattern. The Legacy football team will start several new faces at the skilled positions and front seven spots when it opens the season this Friday. The Rebels host Amarillo High for a 7 p.m. kickoff at Astound Broadband Stadium. One of the position groups with new faces that LHS head coach Clint Hartman is excited about is the defensive line in the Rebels 4-2-5 alignment. The unit is headlined by two returning lettermen with senior defensive tackle Chase Barton and senior defensive end Cole Stapleton. But Hartman loves the depth of the whole group, which includes sophomore Brylon Zeno and senior Eduardo Luevanos at end, and juniors Emmanuel Liddy and Isaac Velasenor and senior Josiah Brown at tackle. I think they're becoming really, really physical, Hartman said of the four-man defensive front. I'm excited about seeing the front four, and I think we have more than four. I think our number twos are good as our ones on the depth chart. I think they'll play, and we'll rotate guys. The Rebels list Zeno as their starting strong side defensive end on the depth chart they released this week. He's been one of, if not the most, consistent defensive linemen in practice and playing the two scrimmages, Hartman said of Zeno. I didn't know how good he would be. I thought he would be good. Like I've always said, we're going to play the best player. Tall, short, sophomore, or senior. We don't care. He's physical. He's a physical human being. You never know with those young D linemen. Can they be physical? He can. I think he's got a bright future. I think he's a future college football player. Liddy and Brown are both playing the interior line after being linebackers last season. Hartman says his coaching staff doesn't like to put labels on players. They'll move players where they'll help the team the most, and the players buy into the changes because of their trust in the coaching staff. Since Hartman became the Rebels head coach in 2016, the program has faced Amarillo High in each season in either a scrimmage or a pre-district regular season game. The teams renewed their series for the 2022-2023 seasons after meeting in both 2020 and 2021. The Sandies, coached by Chad Dunham, went 9-3 last season in Class 5A Division I and lost in the area round of the playoffs. Hartman says Amarillo High does a good job of exposing his team's weaknesses. It's two historic programs, Hartman said. They've got their 800th win as a program, I think, last year. But it's a good old-fashioned West Texas rivalry, in my opinion. I think they're one of the top-tier 5A schools in this area. Playing teams like this, he's going to be prepared. They're going to be well-coached. He may see something like a flaw that maybe we didn't think we have. If he does, then we're going to have to fix it. MHS Report. Bulldogs look to be more efficient in season opener. By Christopher Hattern. The Midland High football team is looking to play with improved efficiency in head coach Thad Fortune's second year. The Bulldogs kick off the 2022 season when they visit El Paso Montwood for a 5 p.m. Central Time start on Friday at Socorro ISD Students Activities Complex. MHS is hoping that another year of familiarity with Fortune's Veer offense will lead to better results after it finished 2-8 overall and 1-5 in district last year. The Bulldogs scored 2 touchdowns in the controlled portion and were shut out in the timed quarter during last Friday's scrimmage against Lubbock Cooper at Astound Broadband Stadium. MHS gained 314 rushing yards, highlighted by a 101-yard effort from junior running back Briley Perez. "We've got to be able to establish the run," Fortune said. "I want us to be better as far as the first series of each half goes. That's one of our focuses that we didn't start half strong. I think the big takeaway from Lubbock Cooper is when we didn't make boneheaded mistakes, we were just fine. But if we did something that set us back, then we got behind the sticks and it was a hard hole to dig out of. We just have to stay on schedule and keep putting one positive play with another one, and then hopefully they'll pop." Senior Jake Cunningham is expected to make his first career start at quarterback for the Bulldogs against Montwood. Cunningham led MHS on a scoring drive in the Cooper scrimmage when he tossed a 19-yard touchdown pass to sophomore Stroman Bridges. "He didn't have a perfect scrimmage," Fortune said. "Nobody did. He did some good things and led the offense well." Bridges, the backup quarterback, engineered a touchdown drive of his own. Bridges finished with 31 yards rushing. Bridges will play receiver when Cunningham is under center. "He gives us a lot of options," Fortune said of Bridges. "He's got a lot of abilities. I'm so excited as he continues to grow in the offense, what we can do with him." The Bulldogs will also be looking to end a 7-game road losing streak on Friday. MHS last won a game on the road when it defeated Odessa High 26-14 on October 23, 2020. "I don't want to overthink it," Fortune said of playing better on the road. "At the same time, it's something we need to be better at." The Bulldogs went 0-5 in away games during Fortune's debut season. "I think our goals will be the same," Fortune said. "They are every week as far as what we are trying to do, what we need to accomplish, to give ourselves the best chance to win. But it's going to be 4 p.m. in El Paso in August, so we better be ready to play and be excited to be there." High school football, Cahoma and Forsan look for spark from Howard County Bowl, by Oscar Leroy. The annual Howard County Bowl has been a fun rivalry for both Cahoma and Forsan over the years, and both communities look forward to it. But the game has also served as a springboard for the winning team, and this year both the Bulldogs and Buffaloes hope the game is the start of something good this year for their respective teams. The game kicks off this season at 7:30 p.m. Thursday at Big Springs Memorial Stadium. "It's a big one," Forsan coach Jason Phillips said. "It's fun to start off the year with a rival at the Howard County Bowl. Ever since the game was moved to Big Spring, it's been a great atmosphere and a great time for our kids and fans. It's fun to take those guys on, and there's always a huge crowd, and it's always a good game." Cahoma coach Chris Jocelyn agreed with his friend from Forsan that the game has been an enjoyable experience. "I like where we're at going into this game, and Forsan is a very well-coached team," Jocelyn said. "It's a big game. We've been friends with those guys for a long time, and I'm going against someone that we respect and like is the hardest thing to do. I'm just ready for Thursday to get here." Forsan is looking for its second straight victory against the Bulldogs in this series. Last year, the Buffalo started off a promising season with a 35-14 victory in the Howard County Bowl, and they would go on to finish the year at 10-2 with an area-round playoff appearance and a top 10 ranking for most of the year of the Texas Football Class 2A Division I poll. While the Bulldogs graduated a strong senior class from last year's squad, Phillips believes there's enough talent left to have another good season. "Hopefully last year's success carries over," he said. "All of these guys were directly or indirectly part of that team, whether they were on varsity or the JV, and were around the team. We can just build on that, and we want to build on that. We haven't looked at this year as rebuilding. We've got some good, talented kids this year, and we want to pick up where we left off last year and carry on that tradition." Phillips said the defense played well in the scrimmages against Grape Creek and Roscoe, while the offense continues to improve. Forsan has played 3 players at the quarterback position in senior Cade Willis, junior Brooks Wright, and sophomore Hudson Stockton. They've all looked good in different areas, and it's been a good competition so far, Phillips said. We'll let them continue to compete until we settle on one. Kahoma looks to rebound from a 3-7 season, and there's hope that they can turn things around behind their overall speed and a new emphasis on being physical. Jocelyn said in the scrimmages against Ozona and Post, he saw the difference in the players' mindset. We played really well in the scrimmages and got back to being physical again, Jocelyn said. The first 3 years, we were a physical team, and we had a little bit of a drop-off last year. I'll take the blame for it. We just quit talking about it. So going back to the spring and all the stuff we have done, we got back to making it a priority. Usually, the more physical team has a better shot of winning on Friday nights. Jocelyn said, as long as this team keeps improving, the Bulldogs will make the strides they desire this year. We want to come out of this game healthy and get going in the right direction, he said. And now to Thursday's Odessa American Sports page. Countdown to kickoff 2022. Ready to walk. Seminole embracing preseason talk about District 2A Division II title chances by Laura Dennis. Seminole head coach Greg Poynier was excited to talk about his squad following the first day of practice and said he is hopeful about its prospects this season. He has good reason, with 29 returning lettermen and 11 returning starters. Last year, the Indians were 5-6 overall and 3-1 in district. They lost in the first round of the playoffs to Snyder, but with the returning experience, Seminole is a preseason pick to win District 2-4A Division II, with Perryton and Borger also in the mix for the district title. We put more pressure on ourselves for that, and we have to walk the talk, and we are the talk of the district, Poynier said. Poynier was quick to point out that at this point, it is just talk. Until we make it happen, and that is a goal of ours, and we spend time talking about it, we want to be district favorite year in and year out. Poynier is in his second year at the helm of the Indians and praised the culture of the town in terms of support for athletics and education, and said it is second to none. Speaking by phone following the first practice, Poynier said it was a great first day and he expects a great season. We were a really young football team last year and got better and better, he said. You can see such a difference in the first day of practice last year compared to this year. You can see a difference in our offense and defense and that the boys know how we practice. He said his squad is in good shape coming off summer workouts and that they had great attendance. It was the best attended summer in all my years of coaching. Our varsity players knew and they showed up. Poynier said that he has 6 returning starters on offense and 5 on defense, adding that the returning experience on both sides of the ball could be the key to a successful season. It makes a big difference having those guys, he said of the returning starters. They get so much more confident and are better leaders and play faster. I feel fortunate to have a lot of guys who are seniors and have that experience. There are a number of returners who were not starters, but who had playing time on both sides of the ball. So depth is something Poynier feels he has this season. Poynier is also excited that a number of his top players will likely have the opportunity to play college ball, some at the Division I level. His returning quarterback, Blake Flowers, passed for more than 3,200 yards and was a key reason for the Indians making the playoffs in 2021. He led the team that Poynier transitioned from a run-based offense to a passing attack. He is getting some offers, of course, and we are super proud, Poynier said of Flowers, a senior. He is a tremendous athlete and a great kid. He walked through the door this morning, and I thought, I'm glad that boy is on our team. He said he believes Flowers is a Division I prospect and that defensive lineman Ritger Connolly is as well. He dominates the line of scrimmage and has verbally committed to SMU, and he will get some other offers. He has a ton of offers, Poynier says. Some want him as an O-lineman, but he played D-line for us. His stock will do nothing but go up, and we are proud of him. He took to the weight room and is much bigger and stronger than last year, and he will have a breakout year. He is the biggest kid I have ever coached. Poynier also praised wide receiver Kuyler Kramer and called him a top target for Flowers and said that he has the ability to stretch the field and added that he led the team in receptions last year. He is faster and stronger and playing with a new level of confidence this year. Calvin Petty is a returner that Poynter called a playmaker with the ball in his hands, along with defensive back Creed Carlisle, who is one of the anchors on defense. He said Carlisle was a strong safety as a sophomore and moved to inside linebacker last year. He is fast and aggressive and a smart football player, and he will make us really great. There is pressure on the team, Poynter acknowledged, with being the district favorite. Poynter said the season opens October 25th with an away game at Lovington, New Mexico, the defending New Mexico Class 4A state champs. Poynter said that they had a chance to see them during 7-on-7 and that the game will be a good early test for his Indians. The first home game will be against Shallow Water. District Outlook. We've got a district with Card with West Plains as a brand new school and didn't play last year, Poynter said. Perryton will be much improved and are getting better all the time. Borger will be a much better team than last year and a very, very young team. Leveland had a good first-year coach last year that got in there late. He's a good guy and a good coach. I don't think that a team in our district won't be better than they used to be last year. Biggest plus. A couple of things. One thing is confidence level, and I've seen it grow and grow, Poynter said. People don't realize how valuable that is, and knowing that you are bigger and stronger and you play faster and better. I also like good leadership, especially from our seniors, and they are already stepping up even on first day. I could see it in the spring, and we have some seniors who know how important that is, and we have some great character guys. Stepping up. We had a guy that last year, he was a big part of the team, and he played offense and then moved to defense, Ryland McCormick. I'm proud of him in offseason and summer. We also have a junior, Kevin Guffey, and he is taking control of the defensive front. And we have been real happy with him, and he has surprised me by stepping into that role.
Many years of disease, tinnitus. Dear Dr. Roach, our 50-year-old son developed many years disease and has since lost all the hearing in his right ear. He continues to deal with dizziness and has been told by his doctors that there's nothing that can be done, quote, until someone famous gets this and more research is done, end quote. He has tried one hearing aid, but that was not satisfactory. This disease affects him greatly in communicating with others and in his sales position. He finds both the hearing loss and vertigo distressing. Are there any avenues he can take? Answer. Meniere's disease causes hearing loss, tinnitus, an abnormal sound usually described as a ringing or buzzing noise in the ear, and vertigo. Pathologically, the organs of balance and hearing in the inner ear are swollen with fluid, but exactly what causes this swelling is unknown. The hearing loss in Meniere's disease initially starts in low frequency, which is a major clue into the diagnosis. Despite treatment, hearing loss can sometimes be progressive and total, which unfortunately sounds like the situation your son is in. Hearing aids are not likely to be effective with such profound hearing. I am sorry, but I don't know of any treatment that is effective in people with complete hearing loss due to Meniere's disease. However, the vertigo can often be successfully treated with therapies to damage the affected organ of balance, such as gentamicin injected into the inner ear, which relieves symptoms in 80 to 90% of patients. I am sure that scientists are working to find new treatments. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Learns truth about fiancé after moving in. Dear Abby, for Friday, August 26th. Dear Abby, I'm having a hard time deciding what to do about my engagement to my fiancé. We met at our old job. Before we got together, he was with someone else, and while he says he didn't leave her for me, I'm sure I helped. I have low self-esteem, so I couldn't understand why he left her for me. But he told me I was lucky he cared about me so much because he could still have been friends with her. I did tell him that I wouldn't care as long as I knew. We finally moved into an apartment together, and he started a new job with an old friend he works with. Since the move, he has become very verbally abusive, and I have developed anxiety and panic attacks. I have also developed a fear of driving. He tells me I need to quit being stupid and to grow up. He doesn't like to talk about problems. He likes to pretend they never happened. If I try to discuss things that upset me, there is always an argument, and I'm always in the wrong. When I work late or if I'm not home, he gets upset, drinks, and breaks stuff. He proposed a year into our relationship when things were okay. I'm trying to do anything I can to make this not miserable, but it's not enough. What do you think I should do? Not really happy in Michigan. Dear not really happy. When problems can't be discussed, they also can't be resolved. I think it's time to calmly evaluate the status quo and decide if you really want to spend the rest of your life with an insecure, domineering, abusive partner who has a drinking problem. If the answer is no, make other living arrangements. Pack your belongings. Inform him the romance is over. Do this only when he is sober and you have a witness. And leave. If you have any reason to think this charmer may become violent, first, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233 to put together a safe escape plan. Believe me, you can do better than this. Dear Abby, whenever I'm out early for a medical or dental appointment, early church services, etc., I usually stop at a fast food drive-thru and bring home breakfast. My neighbor is a single mother who works at home due to the pandemic, and I buy something for her and her son and leave it on her porch. I remember times when I was still working and a coworker would bring in breakfast treats and how much I enjoyed them. My wife has told me to stop because she says my neighbor will think I'm a dirty old man. My neighbor and I hardly ever speak except to say hello, and I never give her a passing thought. What do you think? Passing it on in Pennsylvania. Dear Passing, when you pick up those breakfasts, do you bring something home for your wife as well? If the answer is no, your wife may be insecure about the attention you are paying to this neighbor. From my perspective, what you have been doing is a kindness.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.